The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.
It was Mouth Cancer Awareness Day, and David Hickey, three-time All-Ireland winner for Dublin and former semi-professional player for the French club Stade Rochelais, is with me in studio to talk about the importance of regular dental checks because he himself had a mouth cancer diagnosis. David, good morning and welcome.
Thanks, Pat.
Now, I didn't realise until I started to look up your bio last night that as well as a GAA star, you were a rugby player.
I was a trial rugby player, but I did get to play with probably the best team in the world at the moment, Stade Rochelais. And it was interesting, at the time I was the only foreigner in La Rochelle, on the La Rochelle team. I was there last December for the Leinster match and I met the lads after. There's not a single La Rochelle person on the first church now in La Rochelle.
My goodness. And was your picture famously on the wall of the club?
No.
Now, you better explain to us. I mean, you were a medical student. Obviously, you became a doctor and a specialist in transplantation. But your journey to La Rochelle was a professional journey, first of all, rather than a footballing journey.
Well, I always liked French rugby. I mean, the French rugby team of the 50s was really spectacular, wonderful players. And I had a mention to a friend of my brother's, Ollie Campbell, that I'd love an opportunity. They came up, and he said, OK. And I had been playing with UCD and Clontarf on and off. So he mentioned himself called Pierre Salvier, who, like yourself, ran Antenne, the sports department in Paris. And he was involved with La Rochelle. So they told him I was a great guy, and the rest is history. So
the rest is history. Anyway, you had a couple of seasons with
La Rochelle. I had two lovely years in La Rochelle, yeah.
You also said if you hadn't been a doctor and hadn't got this imperative, you might have stayed in France.
I would be running a bar on the port in La Rochelle today and very happy at it too.
Looking out of that glorious port. Yeah. It's a gorgeous place.
It really is a magical place.
But yeah. Your medical career, which became stellar, beckoned you. You had to come back.
Well, you know, I had a medical degree under my belt, and that was a tie back to Ireland. The effort of going through France system was too much for me. So at the end of 2 years, I packed my bags and came home.
So medicine won in Ireland and La Rochelle lost.
That's very kind of you.
So you went on, as I say, to have a stellar career in transplantation. Yeah. What appealed about transplantation to you?
Well, the first thing was that it was a great job opportunity because nobody wanted to do it. Okay? So I got a job with a man called Sean Hansen, who was a magical human being who set up transplantation in Ireland. And I was sort of the sorcerer's apprentice. Sean had a health problem, wasn't able to operate, so I was sort of the motor end plate of his cerebral cortex.
Was he mentoring you all the time?
He mentioned me from my very first day. So I had this world leader assisting me through the operation.
So you were the main man in the theatre, but he was over your shoulder all the time.
He was controlling my brain. I mean, I was like a robot.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, and
you
went
as an engineer will understand that relationship.
I do indeed. Now, you went on to become ultimately the head of transplantation in Ireland. Over that period, from your apprenticeship, if you like, to the sorcerer, to the time you finally retired, I mean, transplantation was transformed.
Transplantation was transformed in terms of the surgical technique hasn't changed at all, but the pharmacology. And the ethics of transplantation and the abuse of transplantation and all that organ trafficking and stuff has exploded over the past 30 years.
Yes. But the pharmacology was the anti-rejection drugs that could be used after transplantation to ensure that it wouldn't be rejected.
Exactly. That was the major breakthrough. The surgical technique was worked out in the 60s and 70s and hasn't changed since.
Now, we obviously organised this conversation to talk about oral cancer because you yourself were diagnosed.
Yes.
How did it come to light?
Well, I've had a long history with cancer. I had a maxillary sinus cancer about 20 years ago, which was dealt with after a long, hard battle. And then about in 2018, I had an ulcer on my drum that wasn't healing. I assume it was because my brother's a dentist and always tell me to wash my teeth vigorously. So I just thought I scraped my drum doing it. but it didn't heal. So I went into him.
So how long was it there when you began to
probably
think?
Probably 6 months or so.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
But I'm brushing my teeth too vigorous then. So I went into Pat, and that's my brother, and he said, okay, that needs to be biopsied. And then I was on the sort of the one-way train to surgery. And here I am today talking to you.
So how widespread was the cancer in your mouth? Was it simply
tiny,
that one lesion?
Tiny. I mean, it was about 5 millimeters.
Okay.
Barely noticeable. You wouldn't see it.
Okay.
The bleeding was the key.
So, I mean, lots of people have bleeding gums because maybe they don't have a proper maintenance program for their teeth.
Yeah.
And there's lots of plaque and this can lead to gum disease.
Sure,
and
absolutely, yes.
So we don't want to scare everybody if they've some slight blood on their toothbrush or when they spit into the sink that they have mouth cancer.
That is fair enough. But nonetheless, if it persists, I would urge people to vote for your dentist. They are well in tune of what the next steps are.
So the treatment was surgery, first of all. Then did you have follow-up chemo or radiation or any of that?
Not for this particular cancer. For the one previously, I had the full works of radiation and chemo, which probably left me susceptible to this one. Because as with the transplant patients, chemotherapy is also immunosuppressive.
Yeah.
And every cancer, every transplant patient has a yearly cancer check now, which includes oral cancer, skin cancer, because they have a very high propensity to develop that.
Yeah. Does your immune system recover after chemo?
It does. But the radiation causes chronic injury. And as you can see from my face, I'm not the man I used to be. And that's been cured from medicine.
Yeah. Well, you're certainly not the man you were when you were winning All-Ireland medals for Dublin.
That was a while back.
What are the causes of oral cancer?
Well, I suppose living too long is one of them. It's generally a disease that we see in people who are over 65. But smoking, drinking, doing all the things that are nice in life, essentially, are a hot risk factor for oral cancer. None of which I did, by the way.
None of which you didn't, weren't a drinker, weren't a smoker?
No.
So you're wondering, was it the garlic in La Rochelle? Or what was it? So they are the things, the lifestyle aspects that
lifestyle
might lead to it.
Lifestyle aspects to it, yeah.
What other causes are there for oral cancer? Head and neck cancer particularly?
Well, head and neck cancer, I suppose the sunlight. I mean, enough wearing sunscreen, particularly in this environment where we have a hole in the ozone layer that's getting bigger. People should be aware of that. And as you can see, I have a lot of superficial skin cancers, both from skin, from the sun, and from radiation therapy. So I think it's very important that you wear sunscreen.
Yeah, you appear to have quite sallow skin. I mean, obviously your time in France and so on.
My mom was sort of very dark skinned. Yeah. She's from Limerick, so they're kind of a bit dark down there.
But I mean, therefore, you probably didn't use sunscreen as
a
young fella.
No, I just thought it was natural, I never wore sunscreen essentially. Yeah.
Now there is a podcast which might be helpful to people.
There is.
It's called The Whole Tooth.
And nothing but the tooth.
And that's regular editions dropped.
Well, it was done with Eamon Croke, who's a great man. Our common bond was that Eamon's sister Jane was a pancreas transplant recipient.
Okay.
And a great friend of my wife. So that's how we hooked up. Eamon's head of the Dental Association at the moment. And he asked me to say a few words on that on the podcast, which I've done.
Yeah, it's important, I suppose, that people go for regular checks, but so many people are terrified of the dentist.
Yeah, everyone hates the dentist.
Yeah, and yet I recently went for a checkup, and the kind of equipment they have these days with three-dimensional imaging, you can literally see your teeth and the gums and the bone structure underneath.
It's not as terrifying as it used to be in the old days. I think dentists' personalities have improved. I mean, he's an old dentist in the North Strand, and geez, we hate him bone into him.
I went to him, I bet.
Hutchinson.
I ended up with a mouthful of fillings as a result.
Yeah, exactly. I think it's the only thing you have to do. That and charge you.
Yeah, well, that was the whole idea. You ended up with all this mercury amalgam filling your mouth.
And now that's becoming a problem.
Yeah.
Because of the mercury in it.
Yeah. Now,
the Nemata disease, Pat, it's not too late to get it.
Get them all taken out. I'm told that the cure might be worse than the disease.
Taking them out.
Digging them out and then replacing them with something different might be a problem. Moving on to a final topic, which is Dublin and the senior football team and their prospects this year. You were, after all, you were a selector for a while.
I've been involved in 11 of Dublin's All-Ireland wins. So I was a selector and I was drafted to the last team as well for a number of years. I would say they should win it this year, but then I would say that, wouldn't I?
Yeah.
But I think it's more open this year than it has been in a long time. I mean, up to last year, it was Dublin's every year to win or to lose.
Yeah.
I think this year, we had the Perennials and Kerry and Mayo. Galway are a very strong team. And, of course, Armagh, Kerry, and, of course,
Mayo.
And Mayo. I mean, yes, Mayo are always there, yeah.
Always there. Anyway, you think it might be Dublin's turn again?
I will expect Dublin will win it, and Dublin will lose it. It's in their hands.
It's in their hands. All right. Well, David, thank you very much for coming in and sharing your own experience with oral cancer, because that's why you're here primarily.
Absolutely.
To alert people, our listeners, who may have some little lesion that it's been there a while.
Absolutely.
And they've done nothing about it. Go to your dentist.
That's the message.
And they're not as scary as they used to be. David Hickey, thank you very much for joining us on the programme. Really appreciate your time.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.